on the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so to clean up, yeah, Daryl Morey was not there for the fleecing of the Orlando Magic. He got there in 06. And then became officially GM in 07. I remember him as an assistant GM under kind of the GM in waiting, I guess, is what it actually became with Carol Dawson. And I was not happy when Daryl was named GM. I wanted Dennis Lindsay to be the GM. Dennis Lindsay's doing a hell of a job with the Utah Jazz. But I think Daryl ended up being the right choice and has done a really good job for the Houston Rockets. Looking at some of his top moves, you know, he signed Kyle Lowry to a very low deal. He traded for him, and then in 2010, he matched an offer sheet. He had a four-year, $23.5 million deal on Kyle Lowry. He ended up turning around, dealing Kyle Lowry as he was, or the lottery pick from the Raptors that he got from Kyle Lowry. He moved Kyle Lowry for a pick from the Raptors. That pick became a lottery pick, and that was the linchpin in the move that brought James Harden in. He's always been able to flip. He's like that guy who can turn 20 cents, and he's like flip that house guy.
He
can turn 20 cents into 35 cents, 35 into 60, and before you know it, once he's accumulated enough, he moves. Now, that's been his key to building an organization,
yeah,
right?
But sometimes, I don't know if he's always
turned. This is star chasing a little bit.
Wasn't Dragic a decent player for a while? Kyle Lowry turned into an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it was Pat Beverly. Nothing against Pat Beverly, but I don't know that Pat Beverly was either of those two guys. And yeah, that's who you ended up with.
He finds guys, too.
He finds guys, but I don't know that he upgraded every time. And then he turned that into Chris Paul, so had a chance at a championship. And that's what he's chasing. He's champion. You know what? I will give... You know, whatever, if you don't like the move, if you don't like the lying, if you don't like, you know, how the PR system that they have in place and everything else, I will say this. This is not an organization that will sit on its laurels. It is an organization that is constantly trying to do everything to get better and to be the best. And I will give them that credit. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You open yourself up. Every time you make these moves, Daryl's not afraid. He's sitting there today probably going, you know what? He doesn't give a rat's ass. This is the team that he's putting on the floor. It's his job. It's his legacy. It's forever going to be his resume. What did you do, Daryl? Did you win it all, or did you sit there and was it, just okay? Was it just okay enough? It's like the anti-Texans. They are the anti-Texans. They will do anything, anytime, spend anything, trade anyone, do whatever it takes to be the best. That's exactly what the Texans aren't. Mm. Now, our Astros. I got to tell you, I'm driving home last night, and I hear Steve Sparks say, man, that performance by Cy Snead, that was awesome. Because he looks like he may have earned himself a spot in the rotation, or at least a shot at starting pitching. So Cy Snead went five last night and gave up a run. In his previous outing, he went six and gave up four earned runs. He's got a 409. Now, he's a big, strong kid, and that was his first performance and whatever against Pittsburgh. He looked like, he ain't ready for this. Mm-hmm. Last night, he looked much better. Mm-hmm. But where are the Houston Astros that they're calling up a guy in Fromber that was terrible. They need him to make a spot start because they need a fifth starter. They're thinking now, Cy Snead, he threw five innings, got to throw him in the rotation. Hey, we got to go through five innings, got to throw him in. What the hell happened to this team? What the hell happened to this rotation that you're going, oh, well, this guy looked good for five innings, better start him. What?
Mm-hmm.
This is where our championship organization is right now, where you're bringing up, like, let's bring up Brady Rogers. Let's bring up Rogelio Armenteros. Let's bring up Jose Urquidy. Let's bring up CNL Press. Let's bring up Corbin Martin. Let's bring up... What the bleep happened to the rotation? This is what? What?
Well, you let Keuchel walk. You let Charlie Morton walk. Lance McCullers blew out his arm. What do you think happened?
Well, yeah. How about let's go pick somebody up? Pick that. Let's go make a move. Make a move. Let's
you
get
already
somebody.
Said you're 100% sure they're making a move.
I'm 1,000% sure they're
Jim
making a move.
Jim Crane already said, relax, we're making a move.
No, Jim Crane in spring training said, because everybody was asking, what the hell? You lost Keuchel, McCullers, mm-hmm. and Morton, and you picked up Miley.
R.
That's it. And you brought two bullpen guys into the rotation.
A.
X. Relax. He said, relax. Don't forget, there's up to the trade deadline. Don't forget, there's up to the trade deadline.
I'm not forgetting, but at the same time, so what are we going to look at? Who's this going to be? What's it going to look like? What's his pitcher? Is he going to be a pitcher of consequence? Is there going to be somebody struggling to be a 4-5? Because I don't think that's going to change your fortunes.
No, it's got to be a solid three.
It's got to be a solid three.
For a championship team.
Yes, agree.
Yes, that's the move.
And unfortunately, it's hard to just find threes. You may have to go spend for guys who...
Well, here's the deal. No, you have to find a two.
Probably.
You have to find a two because now you have to realize that you didn't re-sign Gerrit Cole. He's probably not going to be here. So this guy that's going to come here is probably replacing Gerrit Cole as your number two next year. So that's what you have to look for right now. Maybe overspend some, maybe overtrade some, but that's what you're looking for. That's what you're in the market for right now, is that guy that's going to be here for the next 3 to 5 years. Well, at least until Verlander goes. You got a couple more years extended with Verlander. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to hope for. That's what you have to shoot for. We'll see. No, not a number five, just a guy that's going to be a rotate. Well, no, end of the rotation.
So here's the tricky part, is you need a number two that you can plug to three. Unfortunately, you may end up with a number two reputation guy who's actually more of a number four, more of a minus three type guy like Bumgarner. No. Bumgarner's not a number two right now. He is in reputation. He is historically.
Well, Bumgarner's a different situation. But Bumgarner, you're getting for his postseason heroics.
It doesn't matter. The last time he had that was when Dallas Keuchel was a Cy Young Award.
I know. I agree. It's not that. You know what? And again, how many times do I have to say it? Go to Toronto and...
The more I'm looking at this, the more I'm thinking Stroman is the play.
It's the play.
Stroman's the play.
Because you got a couple of years left on the deal. Let's go. Yeah. We remember when he brought in Randy Johnson, when they brought in Randy Johnson. Yes. But that's what they did with Randy Johnson. We already have him. She's called Justin Verlander. You already did that deal, Freddie. You've already got that. What you need is that number two guy that you're going to bring in here. There is no Randy Johnson out there this year. Scherzer is not coming here. Scherzer is Nationals ain't giving up Scherzer.
No.
So that ain't happening. 814 ESPN 97.5. We'll get back on the Russell Westbrook train on the other side. But right now it's GiveMeTheVin.com. It's my man John Clay Wolf. And he is the best. John Clay Wolf. And by the way, you can listen to him tomorrow morning. Right here on ESPN 97.5. You can sell him your car. You can call him over the phone, and he's going to quote you right there. You just tell him, I have got a 2012 F-150 with 30,000, 50,000 miles, whatever it is, and what do you give him for? What kind of shape is it in? It's mint. Oh, well, here. And he'll give you the price. this guy's good. He's really, really good. And then you'll go, well, that's a little bit more. Or it's a little bit less than I was hoping for. Well, let me see it. Send me a picture. I want to see the picture. And you know what? I'll give you more for it. That's what he does every single day. And he promises if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to send you $100. That's a guarantee. So and we had the woman who sent it to Lance that said, I got the most for I could get from my car. It's a fact. You're getting the most for your car. If you're selling your car, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Question right here. So, and Dal, I want to involve you because it is regarding, and I know John's one of the soccer experts on the show now. So, John will obviously have an opinion because this is soccer based and it involves the NBA. We're really in the point now where the NBA players have all the leverage, all the power. The teams don't run the league anymore. The owners don't run the league. No one owns run. No one owns, runs the league, but no, players.
Not in the least. The Kyrie, players all run the league.
Kawhi Leonard said, "No, I'll do 2+1. That's what you're getting." He's like, oh, that's okay. All.
I guess that's it. And if you don't like it, I'll go somewhere else.
Right. And so a four-year deal turns into a one-year deal with Paul George. And we know all this stuff. That's kind of how it works, right? So this is a players' league. It's a superstar league. It's teams accumulating superstars now. The superstars want to go to typically coastal teams, it looks like. Miami, fun place. L.A., fun place. Right? They want to go New York, New Jersey, fun place. Houston, although I would argue that I still am a little up and down on whether or not people want to come to Houston or not. We haven't seen, historically, it hasn't been a huge trend of free agents just picking Houston. So let me ask you this. I said this kind of in jest, but not 100% about contraction in the NBA, because if you just want to go where you want to go, then the NBA shouldn't be paying players on non-happening teams and non-hip cities. Take basketball out of the non-hip cities. You lose at New Orleans. You lose at Charlotte. You lose it, Utah. You lose your team, Indiana, okay. Right? So what about this? Oh, no, we got to keep our 30 teams, okay? This is in jest, but this is kind of – I'm kind of being serious about this too. We know who the superstar teams are. We know who's got a chance to actually win, right? What if you set up a league that is – I'll come up with a number. I'll say 20, but it's maybe more, maybe less, and the other 10 are in a different league. That basically is a relegation
league. You mean so it's like the NCAA. It's the group of five and power five and group of five.
Yeah, which it's not that crazy. It's really not that crazy. When you say it like that, we have it in NCAA. And we know what the deal is.
Except there's no relegation and there's no comeuppance for the group of five.
Right,
they don't have a chance at the championship.
Right, and there is no... the non-power fives...
Don't have a chance.
Theoretically have a chance.
No, they don't.
The argument is they do.
No. Because they've got,
but we know they don't.
They don't,
and we know that these other teams.
They don't.
We know these other teams don't unless they do something like the Kawhi move, which ended up being a rental Kawhi. No. But what would you guys think of a situation where you said, okay, because the NBA's already toyed with mid-season tournaments like they have in soccer. Mm-hmm. They've already thrown these ideas out there of saying this is our NBA. And this is the secondary league. And if you lose in this league, you get relegated to the Orlando Magic's league.
It's but it's not realistic.
And the Spurs fans would tell you to EAD because we're not a place where people love to come play. And somehow we found a way to win.
You know why? Because you're not relegated because you win.
Well, they drafted.
Winners don't get relegated.
Milwaukee had the best record, and they're a small market.
They moved up out of relegation when they got Giannis.
Because they drafted a player, and they were right on him.
All right.
They moved out of relegation.
I got a realistic question for you guys.
That's not realistic?
That's not realistic.
Would you like to see relegation?
It would be awesome, but it's not going to happen. It will never happen.
And here's the reason I thought that it couldn't happen. Because then in the draft, when Zion Williamson is drafted by a relegated team, Zion would refuse to go to the team in the whole nine yards.
Okay, so how about this? Rank the superpower duos. LeBron and AD. Rank them. LeBron, AD, okay. James and Russell, Durant and Kyrie, Embiid and
Simmons.
Yep.
Ben Simmons.
Kawhi. Kemba and Jason Tatum. Giannis and Middleton.
Hold on, with the Celtics. Is it Kimba and Tatum?
Yeah. Or Jason Tatum? What do you mean?
It's not Brown and Tatum. It's got to be Kemba and Tatum.
I'm just saying Tatum took a step back, but I get what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go from
there. Rank them by title potential next year?
Rank them by...
Kawhi, PG.
Yes, who's your...
Kawhi and Paul George.
No, what's the best combination? If you were a GM, Kawhi, what combination...
Hold on, let me throw Kawhi also out there. George. I want to just throw CJ McCollum in.
Yeah, and Dame.
And Dame. Okay. In there.
Throw them in there.
Number one is Kawhi
and
Paul George.
Okay, and throw D'Angelo and Steph.
Kawhi and Paul George.
You want Kawhi and Paul George?
They're the best combination of two-way players.
Easily number one, and I personally think easily number two is LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Agreed.
I think those are easy, but that depends on AD's shoulder and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, once you get past that, this is a pretty good exercise. I would start with last is Durant and Kyrie, simply because Durant's not playing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how.
I think that
Achilles.
One you got to put on hold because it's not. So I'm going to go. It's a year away.
So I'm going to go incomplete. I feel like there's one that you said after the week, after Kimba and Tatum, you had somebody. Did
Giannis
I miss it?
Giannis and Middleton.
That one. Giannis and Middleton. Okay, I'm going to say we're ranking them just in basketball.
You know what? I might go Giannis and Middleton next.
I think I'm going to go Dame and.
I'm going Giannis Middleton next.
Now it's not just the collection of talent; it's how they play together. It's sure. What our expectations?
Yes.
Dell, I'll let you comment on that one.
Dell, what's your next one?
Oof.
Would you go Giannis and Middleton? Three? I don't know that I'm ready to put Middleton there.
I mean, clearly Middleton getting bolstered by his teammate. I'm taking Dame and McCollum.
Yep.
Because I think the combination of those two, I just like more than Middleton. I saw McCollum close out a series. I actually saw them both do it. Dame against OKC and McCollum took care Denver late. So I'll take those two. Recency bias a bit, but I'll take those two over Giannis and
Limited with those two on how much you can win.
I don't think Middleton is.
But they play well together.
But for whatever reason, they need more.
But this is just superstars.
Now, Nurkic coming back was going to help.
Well, hold on. Giannis had a lot of help around him, too. That's a really good team. Like, everyone fits their roles really well. I wouldn't say Middleton. To me, I'm with Dell. Giannis lifts up Middleton so much.
Well, I mean,
McCollum is an outstanding shooter and scorer.
They got to the Western Conference Finals.
Who's last?
But Middleton had to make the shots, guys. I mean,
no, he did too.
He was an all-star. He was really good.
1 year.
I think McCollum's McCollum's a better player than Middleton.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too. But I think Giannis is better than Dame.
I think Dame and Giannis are pretty close.
I think they're closer than McCollum and Middleton. That's just my eyes. The worst, you asked?
Yeah, who's the worst?
Probably Kemba and Tatum.
That's my guess, yeah. Not my guess. They are the worst.
I think they're the worst combo.
But then who's next? I think it might be Embiid and Simmons.
Could be.
Because you can't count Embiid's out of shape, and you can't count on him playing, and then Simmons can't shoot the basketball.
Simmons is so limited.
I'll go that, too.
But then after that, I think it might be James and Russ.
See, D'Lo's only done for 1 year, and Steph is really good.
No, yeah.
So I think I'm going to take D'Lo and Steph as next.
The bottom up.
Yeah, bottom up, yeah.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Plus, they're smallish, too.
Yeah.
If you can shut one of those to get the other. I don't know. Steph, I guess.
All right, so you got James.
Steph can take over a game.
James, so you have James and Russ, or you got Giannis and Middleton? I
got
to go.
I am a fan of how you impact. Yeah, I like Giannis's impact defensively.
And the way Russ played last year really concerns me, so I would say Giannis and Middleton. So I think Dell and I would probably flip 3-4. You would have, I don't know how you'd have Giannis and Middleton 3. Would you have Dame and Russ 4? Who would you have?
Yeah, CJ 4. Yep.
Are we missing somebody? Combo?
Probably. I mean, there's probably another duo out there.
Beal and Wall?
No.
No.
Gross.
Well, ill. Clay is out of the equation.
Now, I tell you
does
who
Clay
could.
Change
Clay
it
with Russ change. I mean, Clay, well, with Clay with Steph Russ is, changes. I mean,
Clay with Steph is up at in the top three.
Yeah.
But where would you put Porzingis and Luka? I think they got a chance to fly into the top four.
Porzingis has to stay on the court.
Can they stay on the court?
Yeah, that's going to be the key. Because Luka, I think, is a tremendous talent. Yeah, so I think four would be Giannis and Middleton. Five, I'd go James and Russ. Six would be...
Are you putting Mitchell and Conley in this?
Haven't seen them. Yeah, but we haven't seen the other pairs, too.
We haven't seen some of the other
pairs. They wouldn't be last.
No, I wouldn't put them last.
I'd put them above Kimba and Tatum.
Right, but they'd be near the bottom.
Yeah.
Would you put them below Embiid and Simmons? I don't know that I would.
I don't think I would right now either. Until I see Simmons shoot the basketball and Embiid stay on the floor and stop having IBS or whatever.
This is the most anti-610 show of all time. We're sitting here talking superpower groups of NBA players when you guys know damn well that Jadeveon Clowney has not signed yet.
Someone, well, that is a thing. Daniel brings
what the
hell
up is wrong with y'all?
Murray and Jokic. Jamal Murray and Jokic.
Jokic, we just kicked to the curb. But.
All right, what about LaMarcus? A.J. Hoffman just brought up LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan. Yeah. That's a fair one.
They're better.
I would put them ahead of Embiid and Simmons.
And I put them ahead of Kimba and Tatum.
Yeah,
certainly.
I would too.
Yeah, that's another pairing. We just forget about
you
it.
Put we're them talking ahead about, of Embiid and Simmons?
I would, yeah. Well, Embiid was soft as sugar in the postseason. He fell apart like... I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge has been there, done that. I feel comfortable with Aldridge. I don't feel comfortable with
and they
Embiid.
Turned Simmons into like a dunk, the dunks dunker spot because he. Cause
yeah, I guess
he,
Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris helped.
Yeah.
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 If Jimmy was still on that team, Jimmy and Embiid, I would raise up Philly. But yeah.
I think Philly's a lot of talking a badge.
Yeah.
As Robert De Niro once said in, what was that movie? Mm. Hey, nothing but a lot of talking a badge to Kevin Costner.
Heat?
No. Oh. Remember when he was he had the baseball bat?
Oh, he Capone.
Yeah, when he was Al Capone. Yeah. But that was not the name of the movie.
Capone.
No.
The Untouchables?
The Untouchables. Yeah.
De Niro was into the Untouchables?
Yeah, he was Al Capone. He goes, yeah, you're nothing but a lot of talking a badge. Nothing but a lot of talking a badge. That's what the Philadelphia 76ers sound like. Talking a badge. I hear about them. I know they're all number one picks. They're good with social media. They fly around to do flying. Joel Embiid was flying around after he got a dunk like he had done something. And then they started putting like 7 points and four rebounds on him, and he cried. I was like, this is not a good look. You cannot start crying after you get 8 points and four rebounds.
Hey, Embiid, I mean, I think we're underestimating. When he's on the floor, they kind of – if we're going to give that kind of love –
You count on him, though?
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
I don't think you can count on him.
Yeah,
that's why I can't put him in there.
Didn't JVG say something about – availability, isn't that like a? I forgot what he.
The best ability is available.
Yeah, Embiid, I can't count on you. That's why they. That's part of the reason why Horford's such a big deal.
Same with Porzingis. If Porzingis was on the floor, they'd move up. How high would those?
That's
two
all.
Move
we got to see how Porzingis does this year because he and Luka could end up shooting into the top four. But I mean, can you stay on the court? And even then, he was telling us how tired he was all the time. His rookie season, tired. Like, I need load management. Like, you're 21.
Dude.
What do you mean you need?
You,
I don't
you know
weigh
what
much.
Testosterone.
This is perfect. Men's T Clinic. Listen, my guess is his testosterone level since he's in his 20s is at a perfectly reasonable level. But if you're feeling like you need load management all the time, you're like, golly, I need some load management. Why? Because I don't have the energy to work and then go work out after work and then go out and have fun on the weekends or go hang out and chase the kids. I don't have time. I don't have energy. Well, that's all fine and good, but you know, you don't have to just default to that lifestyle. That doesn't have to be you for the rest of your life. Go to Men's T Clinic and find out if you're running low on testosterone, because what happens is that many men are going to face issues with their testosterone levels. They will drop, and it's something that they can't control. And when it does happen, you know, it's really going to have an impact on your lean muscle mass, your metabolism, your mental acuity. Certainly, libido can be an issue. Energy will 100% be an issue. So if you want to get some of those levels back, what you need to do is find out where your testosterone levels are and then get it tightened up so that you get back to being the real you, back to that same testosterone level when you were in your 20s or your 30s. Men's T Clinic can help you do that, and they can help you live a much more fulfilling life. I promise you, it's going to be one of the best moves you've ever made. And they are safety first. They'll make sure that you are a candidate, and when you are, they're going to make sure that you get the best results. Men'sTClinic.com, 5 locations around the Houston area, Men'sTClinic.com.
ESPN 97. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You want to come in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Chuck, we apologize we didn't get you in. You can come now, and we'll get you in right away. 713-780-3776. We got on a little bit of a tangent with the best duos. But I think what we all agree that the chemistry thing is going to be the biggest issue with this Russ and James thing. As far as talent goes, athletically, there's no match for Russell Westbrook. He's one of the best athletes, quite possibly one of the best athletes in all the sports. Right? Am I overstating this? I mean, his knee is an issue now.
I feel like he is. Even if he's not. I'm watching DeAndre Hopkins literally catch a piece of sushi.
I saw
no, roll.
I think that was.
Are you sure it's?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it was. I don't know that they actually did it. I think that
they're acting like this is not part of a scene. Maybe it is. I don't know. But because DeAndre, they're laughing like it's an outtake or something.
Yeah,
but
Deshaun threw it to him. I guess it really happened. I don't know.
I don't know.
It looks like it could be.
I'll bring up what he said. Jalen Ramsey's in DeAndre Hopkins. I'll bring it up here in a second in his comments about Russell Westbrook and James. But you remember we used to think it was so cool when athletes from one sport would comment or would even like another, like when you realize that they liked another sport or showed up in another sport, it's pretty much the norm now.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty much the norm. And this is going to continue to cause more issues with baseball, with football players. Football players already want to be like Antonio Brown and get out whenever and wherever they want. And with basketball players getting these super maxes and being able to bolt and leave when free agency is every year for players, this is really going to piss off football players a lot. But getting back to, I do think it was relevant to figure out where you put James and Russ on the list. I think that's an interesting discussion of if the league is going to be not big three but big two right now, then how do the big two stack up? I think it's pretty interesting to stack those up and how you perceive, because we do have to realize that Russell Westbrook, even though he shot like Dookie last year I don't think he's a smart basketball player at all. I think he has low basketball IQ. I don't think he's a good teammate, and I think he's the opposite of Chris Paul. What he is a mega competitor who is an explosive athlete. With or without a knee issue, that guy flies around like a maniac, and he will compete hard. I just don't think he's smart on the basketball court, and I don't think he thinks team first. I think he just thinks – I'm not saying – he's not classically selfish, like, I just want to get me. I want to do me. I think he is somebody who says, I give us the best chance to win, so I need to be shooting these shots. He's that kind of selfish, an egotistical, but in a competitive way, if that makes sense. But it's still not the best thing for the team. So I don't know how that's possibly going to work out with one of the most efficient scorers and explosive scorers in the history of basketball. I just don't see how you think that guy, who believes that with the ball in his hands, he'll make all the winning plays. How does anyone think that's going to work with James Harden?
Who takes the last shot? I think it's James.
James? James ain't giving up.
Does Russell Westbrook come in here and say, I know this is James' team now?
When asked the question, will he be, or will he do that behind the scenes where, this? No, I get it.
Well, or he'll say, if I was him, I'd say, I'm on the team, too. We're all on the team.
So you want him to start issues from the media from the get-go. The easiest way to suppress any of that. Well, go.
Listen, he's a former MVP too. Dude's got ego.
Yeah,
certainly. I mean, especially a dude's got ego. He's gonna go, and rightfully, hey, this is all our team. Everybody, you know, it's PJ's team too.
Well,
it's everybody's team.
That diffuses it.
Yeah,
if you that'd go, be smart to say it like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
if you tell it, well,
this is everybody's.
It doesn't
team.
Diffuse.
We're a team.
Is that, yeah, it's James' team too.
It'd be smart.
We're all on the same team.
With, it'd be smart pulling to say towards like that, one yeah. goal, a title.
Yeah.
But you know who's gonna take that last shot. Not,
I don't want to poop. Hey, this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
I don't
want to poo-poo this thing. I think it's going to be it. Hey, we got to let's wait and see. Maybe it'll work out. It should have worked out for Chris Paul the first time when we were all like, hey, it's not going to work. They will both need the ball, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out we were right. But that first year, they had a chance to win it all.
It was awesome the first year. We'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of times what happens is the first year, everyone plays nice.
Mm-hmm.
If I get one of those seasons... Oh. It'll be fun to watch.
Yep. I think we'll get that. There will be a process for them to learn each other. There will be a process. I think James will cut down. Now, listen, James did not respect Chris Paul's game. He didn't think, Chris Paul, you can't beat anybody off the dribble. So you know what? I'm going to isolate 16 times a game. Mm-hmm. I think James will defer some. I think James might go back to 10 ISOs a game.
I don't question whether it'll be fun or not. I think for Rocket fans and just NBA people, because NBA nerds love this trade because of what it means and who's playing together and all that type of stuff. I think it'll be entertaining, but the Rockets' goal is not to be entertaining.
No.
Well, they want to sell tickets. I get that part, but the statement or the stated goal is to win a title. And we had this discussion in the group chat. I can't believe I actually got involved in talking to you guys off the show.
You were excited yesterday.
Yeah, because he wasn't on my team. I was thrilled. We talked about it. Real ass, being the biggest Russell Westbrook fan of the four of us, he was trying to figure out a way for it to work. And he asked us, will it work? And I said, well, no, it's not going to work unless you believe this team is going to win a title. Because that is what the Rockets' goal is.
You really
is.
Think that's how you gauge
the Rockets work? Have stated their goal.
But you think that's... To me, work in this one, I actually have lower expectations because of personality conflicts.
You don't trade for that guy and on that deal if you don't think you can win a title with him.
Right, but they may not. They still may not be good enough. They still. But
I don't think they're good enough.
I think it could work. Well, work for me is do they actually get along and play good basketball together? I think it worked if they did that.
So the Rockets are just a fun team who plays. They play pretty good in the playoffs.
I think they're right there almost. They're the almost team.
Well, I think they're no. I think
goal,
they're a team that has a shot.
Well, they yeah. had a shot last year. I don't think they're good enough.
They're right.
Though.
They're almost. That's,
well, they weren't. They turned out. They turned. It turned out they weren't good enough because Chris Paul wasn't good enough.
I'm not questioning whether. If everything goes right, they can win a title. I'm not questioning that. Yes, if everything goes right, this team can win a title. I don't think there's any way everything goes right. Unless Russell Westbrook becomes a playoff player that he hasn't been the last 3 years, they ain't winning a title.
Well, no. I mean, then you know what they'll say? Yes, we can.
I know.
Watch.
Oh, of course. I get it, but I have
to. Was Toronto the favorite going in?
Or
was
Golden State, we can win.
Was Golden State the favorite going in?
Go say was.
Yeah, and guess what? Toronto said, you know what? We're going to win a title.
Yeah, I don't think either of these two players can affect an entire team like Kawhi can.
I don't think so either.
Well, we'll find out if James doesn't grow some nuts in the postseason.
I want to know if
that's what's got to happen.
After how many years?
Well, we'll find out.
I just want them to be in striking distance.
Well, they are.
They don't. You know what? They were in striking distance this year.
I think they're tired of striking distance.
I understand, but realistically, I get all that. But I think realistically, you want to have a shot. Because once you have a shot, people can get injured. You ever heard of that? Where guys get injured. You get a guy on a team like Siakam who catches a heater. That all of a sudden, you have guys or Van Vliet firing in threes from everywhere on the court.
Yeah.
You just want to be there in the fourth quarter. It's the same thing as, I just want to be there in the fourth quarter for a chance to win in the fourth quarter. It's the same concept to me.
Is the stream down?
I don't know. I'll take
somebody's asking. Frank is asking. Let's take a break. 713-780-3776. Alan, we'll get you in on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's get Alan in here. We promised we would get him in here right away. 713-780-3776. Hey, Alan, what's going on?
How's it going, everybody? First-time caller, lifetime listener. First of all, I want to welcome Russell Westbrook to the team. I think that everybody's going to disagree with me, but I feel like he is an amazing asset to this team. I think he's going to have the most embarrassing loss of his career. And if he's any type of competitor like we know him to be, he should be working his butt off to come in and try to win championships. No, this is going to be his only time.
Dude, your phone sucks.
You know this is our Alan, right?
Yeah, I recognize.
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Alan, we can now.
It goes in and out.
It was going in and out. Yeah,
Alan, your phone was going in and out. Did you buy it with all that money we gave you as an intern?
Yeah, man, all that food, you know. But what's it called? I just think that Westbrook is coming off the most embarrassing year of his career. I think him being the competitor that he is, he has to come in and know that this is his team. He has to play the role that they want him to play, and he's going in with one of his best friends playing at the and for the Rockets. I think it's going to be a great situation.
Yeah, they're, you know what? Your phone is going in and out again, Alan. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it, Alan. There is that. He is coming. Is Russ self-aware, though? Remember the post-game guy he wouldn't talk to?
You said, is Russ self-aware?
Is Russ self-aware?
No.
Does he have any self-awareness?
Does Russ
realize that he really sucked at shooting the basketball?
No.
Does he realize that?
Well, no. I did see a story that said Russell Westbrook wants to improve his shooting. I didn't get into the guts of it, but I did see that. So.
Does he know when he misses a shot?
Does he know why he
missed it? No. Does he know that he missed it?
What do you mean?
I mean, does he just go, it was probably in? If it wasn't for that rim, it would have gone in.
The rim did screw me over.
I got screwed on that.
I don't think
maybe there was some wind.
I think he knows he misses. I think his problem is he has irrational confidence in himself, which people love because that's kind of made him the player that he is. But sometimes you got to be a little, all right. I don't know if he'll – can the Rockets sit him down and show him the numbers that we have recited that some NBA nerd put together and say, hey, Russ – you're really bad at the pull-up jumper. You may not feel it in the middle of a game because you think your next shot is always going to go in. But over the course of a season, you are awful at doing this. Maybe you should do something else. Can the Rockets put those numbers in front of him, and will he listen? Because if he can do that, then that's one step out of the way in determining whether this will work.
If Russ can step outside of himself and say, honestly, I want to win a title. We can do this if we play a certain way. Play nice. Do you use our abilities? Let Eric Gordon shoot from outside. Let James shoot from outside. Let Tucker shoot from the corner because he's really good at that. Let me drive by guys, use my athleticism, grab rebounds, play defense, run by guys, pick up the tempo. The Rockets are one of the slowest teams in the league.
Which doesn't help him.
No, but he can say, you know what? I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
Can say that, but if James says, we're not running.
Well, no. You know what? When we grab a rebound, let's go. And you know what? Then let's, you know what? Then James has to do that too. You know what James has won? Poop, poop, poop. Nothing. So what James has to do that as well. You know what? Maybe me standing there, dribble, 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 throw it up with 3 seconds left on the shot clock isn't the best for our team. Maybe with Russ and his athleticism, maybe running a little more.
But the Rockets will tell you that the way we play is best for the way we do things for the team. That's why he does it. The Rockets don't go, hey, James, could you stop? They rubber stamp what he does.
No. But I'm sure you know what? Maybe the Rockets might say, you know what, Russ? We are more athletic. We weren't athletic with CP. You know what? We're more athletic. So maybe we'll run more.
We'll see.
Maybe Mike D'Antoni will actually tell the team to do something.
Mike D'Antoni with no contract is going to step in and say, hey, James, do this.
This dude has the least amount of power I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, and he's... Well, even when he was the... And he wouldn't tell him what to do. He wouldn't say, hey, James, maybe
you... Now, with all that said, I do think he's a very good offensive coach. He has a system that has had a level of success that has churned out three MVPs.
Yeah.
Three MVP seasons.
More MVPs! Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't get
another MVP.
Well, you don't get an MVP unless you have success.
Let's get another MVP!
Well, you don't have an MVP unless you have success.
No, right. That regular season and success. You've got to have another MVP.
Well, my
you know what? We got to get on Twitter and get another MVP in here.
You're not winning a title. Are you waiting for this? Are you just waiting for a title with this team?
Yes. No, then, what do you mean?
Then I'll just wait for you to crash and burn and be disappointed.
What do you mean?
This
team ain't winning a title.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not
winning
a title.
Then what are we doing here? Then let's just collect MVPs.
Everything can't be about, yes, and division championships in football.
What?
Yeah. This is MVP town, division championship town, and then a thrown-in World Series. No, my point is, my original point is that I am interested to see how Russell Westbrook works in this offense. Because one thing we saw is that this isn't just about taking a bunch of threes. With Chris Paul, the Rockets said, if you have mid-range shot, take your mid-range shot. We just want good shots. And for Russell Westbrook, a good shot is going to the hole and trying to thump it on people.
Why are you so loud right now? Rio's pissed off about something. Hit the break. You came in at 53, and you're throwing stuff around.
He wants his favorite player is now on his
favorite
team.
Can you expect him to not be excited when his... erection-inducing favorite players.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did somebody get all worked up last night?
Yeah, Was he edging toward this?
What happened when it edged?
I don't think he could edge.
He was edging the entire offseason until it finally exploded with the trade.
His excitement exploded.
Gulf Coast Chevy's got a wide variety of pickup trucks.
You sure you don't want to separate one?
Craig DeSerf's fine with it. Okay. He'll get the mess all over him. Listen, what I'm saying though is he's not afraid to get a little dirty.
No.
He's not. He goes, come on, yeah, woo! I say he doesn't care. He didn't care. He said, bring it on.
Was he near for heel when it happened?
I got 363 vehicles to move, and I'm trying to get some deals done. I'm trying to get the best deals you can find on a Yukon Denali. The Yukon Denali is a baller vehicle, but he's got something for you there. I remember Carlos Correa's mother and father both went and got vehicles from over there. I know that a ton of Astros, as a matter of fact, Jose Altuve is one of them, have come through and purchased vehicles. You know, his Astro connection is because they want service, they want price. And yes, athletes look for price too, but the service thing is a really big deal for them. You know, Craig DeSerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC out in Angleton, they will deliver vehicles into Houston if that's what you need. They delivered paperwork into Houston. Of course, you can go out there. Most people want to go out to Angleton and put hands on the hard body and check it out. But Angleton and Craig DeSerf out there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they recognize, hey, we will do whatever it takes to go above and beyond and be the best spot when it comes to price, when it comes to selection, and when it comes to service. And they're not outdone. They're never outdone. That's why their sales numbers have just shot through the roof, because so many people are telling other people about the inventory that they have and the great deals they have right now on the 2018 brand new pickup trucks like Chevy Silverado, the 2019 Silverado, all the new vehicles, all the pre-owned vehicles. Nobody's got better prices. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Get your crossover SUV, sedan, or pickup truck today right there in Angleton, LanceZCars.com.